This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 3, 2022, Votive Mass of the Holy Angels, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I've been speaking about angels before and had the question posed to me more than a few times. Well, how come God needs to use the angels? Because, you know, he's God and he protects us and he guides us by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he does. Absolutely. God is our Father, and he's a very good Father. And because he is a very good Father, he provides for us. And we never want to lose sight of the fact that we live in the created order. There are things that happen that created order that don't happen in heaven. This is the reality of being part of creation. God has the angels as intermediary beings. Some of them just stay in heaven depending on their vocation. Seraphim, cherubim, they stay in heaven. The guardian angels, the archangels, the dominions, the thrones, the powers, all the other choirs of angels, they have an intermediary role. Particularly angels and archangels down here. This is the reality of how God works. He is our Father who art in heaven, and because he's a good one, he provides for us in this created order. This is why he has appointed the angels for us, particularly those I'd spoke of before, the angels and the archangels. To be included in that are our guardian angels. Our guardian angels, as I said before, you know, we do this for our own children. People that have kids, you use babysitters to watch after them when they're young and you want to go out somewhere and do something. You take them to the doctors. They get sick, you take them there. You send them to schools where teachers teach them, excluding homeschoolers, but then their mom's teaching them. Could God infuse knowledge into anyone? Yes, of course he could. Is God the healer? Yes, he absolutely. But we go to doctors down here. So we have to have this mindset where God works through his creation and into creation, doing his God thing. That's why he gives us the guardian angels. They are the intermediaries between God and man. They execute God's special care and providence in this world. This is what they do, and this is why we need them. And it shouldn't be a foreign thought, particularly when, again, we apply what we do down here as good parents for our children. We can't do everything. God could, but that's not how he works. He works in the created order through created beings. Angels are created beings. This is what the scriptures teach us from cover to cover. Cover to cover, we have angels working with men. Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. Scripture is full of examples of the wondrous works of angels that we know about. I mean, we actually see. You have Lot. Lot and living in Sodom and Gomorrah. God sends his angels to come down and investigate as to whether they were as sinful as he has heard. He sends them, and not only do they come out and investigate, they take care of God's people, as few as there were there, Lot and his family. Lot is being pressed by the crowds outside of his house to give up those men, those angels that they think are men, and the angels not only make sure they don't come in, the angels strike them blind. So the angels are protecting Lot, and they're not even his guardians, but they do God's bidding. We have this an example. Probably the first and foremost example in Scripture is the book of Tobit, when we see the archangel Raphael. He disguises himself as a man, and he walks with Tobias, and he is his companion on the journey. He saves him from dangers in this world. He uses the things of this world to show how we can overcome things both temporally and spiritually. He suppresses the power of a demon that is encroaching on Tobias during his journey. He teaches him about marriage. You know, what does an angel know about marriage? He is God's intermediary and God established it, so he's going to know something about it. He teaches Tobias about marriage. And then ultimately at the end, he cures the blindness of Tobit, Tobias' father. This is a whole book in the Bible of what an angel will do for us, can do for us. Again, it's just not Old Testament stuff. It's also New Testament stuff. When St. Peter is in prison, what happens? An angel goes in, and he doesn't just miracle Peter out of the jail. Again, we're talking about the created order. So what does the angel do? The angel gets into the jail cell supernaturally, but then what does he do? He kicks Peter in the side, wakes him up, says, get your clothes on and follow me. Hurry up. There's a reality there. He doesn't wave his magic angel wand and have everything turn out well. And he gets him out of there, and then he just leaves because he doesn't have anything else to do there. God's fulfilled his mission. Peter's out, and now it's up to Peter to scurry his way home. The angel doesn't guide him around like a little Disney fairy kind of thing going on that everybody likes to associate with angels. This is the reality of things. So when we look at these, we have more than ample scriptural evidence of angels working in the way we can see them work. How much more do you think that they work out of our sight? How many things do you think angels do that we don't see? Because I would say this is the vast majority of the way they work is when we don't see them. The Roman Catechism says this, says guardian angels under whose protection and vigilance we may be able to escape the snares secretly placed by our enemy, repel the dreadful attacks that he makes on us, and under their guiding hand, keep the right road, and thus secures us against all the false steps and the wills of the evil one that might cause us to make an order to draw us aside from the path that leads to heaven. They watch after our salvation. They watch after our salvation. Angels are a grace that our Lord has provided for us. They are a grace. They are like, again, things that they protect us against things we can't even see. They can determine things that we don't, as my hearing degenerates as I get older, I love the fact that I have a couple dogs in the house. Nothing ever sneaks around. I mean, I can hear a lot of things sometimes. But I sit around, I'm sitting there reading a book or something, and the dogs get up and run to it. Guess what? I know something's out there. That's how the angels work. I can't hear it. They can. The angels work the same way with us, in a much more spiritual and in-depth way than listen to somebody coming to the door. Angels actually work for us. They actually protect us as we walk through this because there are a lot of temptation. I said in a homily a few weeks ago, as cartoonish as it sounds, it's really theologically correct. The old cartoons where the little red devil pops up on one side and the white angel pops up on the other side and they go back and forth trying to get the person to do what each says. That's really what happens. Angels in their pure intellect, because angels are just that, St. Thomas Aquinas, they are pure intellect. They are spiritual beings. They can manifest themselves on a very, very rare occasion, but they generally don't. They generally don't manifest themselves. We don't know they're there. They're spiritual beings. And being spiritual beings, they can impress their will upon yours, but they cannot violate your soul. They cannot violate your will. They impress themselves on there. They suggest. That's what we call, in a sense, positively, a guardian angel. We call that our conscience. When we are beset by temptations and we, two things, excuse or justify what we're going to, that is that little red guy that's over here. He is impressing on your will to embrace the temptation. So it's not just the guardian angels that we have around us. It is also the fallen angels. We just need to listen to the guardian angels, and we can tell the difference. Well, how am I to know the difference? Read this. You know the commandments, you know the precepts. When you start to be tempted not to fulfill them, that's not a guardian angel. Our guardian angels, they secure us in our salvation. They guide and direct us in our salvation. This is the reality of things. When we say this, it's not a matter of focusing on the angel. This goes full circle. We're not focusing on what the angels do for us and all that. We are focusing on worshiping God for providing the angels to us. So your Protestant friends talk about angels. They talk about saints and Mary. It's all about God. Yes, it is all about God. And you can appreciate God so much more when you understand his provision of the angels to guard and direct us in our lives, that he has provided for us the communion of the saints as examples for us. Those are why we have those things. In no way does it detract from our love and our veneration of God and our worship of him, because angels are not worship. The saints are not worship. They are venerated because we worship God and his provision of them in our lives. This is reality. This is why we can say our Father who art in heaven and truly mean it. And we have a deeper understanding of it when we start to understand these provisions that he has made for us. And the guardian angels are one of them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.